You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Thursday, September 9th, 2021. It's too late. Global natural gas and LNG supply squeeze sets stage for record winter prices. Published by Lindsay Schneider. Global natural gas and LNG prices have spent the summer going from high to higher to the highest on record. The major European indices hit post-2008 and then all-time highs multiple times throughout the summer, even surpassing Asian prices on a handful of days. At the same time, Asian prices have set all-time seasonal records and are now sitting just below the previous single-day high settle from this past January. Usually, as the weather cools heading into fall, so do prices. But that's unlikely this year, as the European gas storage inventory is at the lowest level for this time of year than we've seen in recent history, and the time to replenish stocks for the winter is rapidly running out. The incredible bull run for global gas prices has been underpinned by high demand for LNG and the cascading effect of a supply squeeze in Europe, brought on by the triple threat of low domestic production, increased imports from Russia, and a scarcity of incremental LNG cargoes. Not only is this driving record high gas prices and increased volatility now, but the low inventory means sustained high prices for the heating season ahead. In today's blog, we take a look at recent global gas price trends and the precarious European storage situation ahead of what is shaping up to be an incredibly bullish winter. After being decimated by COVID-19 and the subsequent oil price crash in 2020, global gas markets made a startling recovery this year. Prices swung from all-time lows last summer to record highs this year. A confluence of factors led to the bullish reversal in market fundamentals, including weather events and operational issues that disrupted LNG cargoes just as COVID lockdowns were easing. It started with a record-breaking Atlantic hurricane season last year that curtailed U.S. LNG production and interrupted marine traffic in the fall, particularly from the Louisiana facilities. This occurred right around the time when overseas offtakers are typically building up LNG stocks or, in the case of Europe, filling gas storage for the winter ahead. While the U.S. was experiencing LNG production shortfalls from the storms, extended outages were also impacting terminals in Australia and Norway, further reducing global LNG supply. Then, just as colder than average winter weather was boosting heating demand in Europe and Asia, another constraint emerged: prolonged delays for U.S. cargoes transiting the Panama Canal, the fastest, most economical shipping route between the U.S. Gulf Coast and Asia. The delays were partially caused by COVID-related restrictions, but also were a natural side effect of increased traffic through the canal caused by pent-up demand following months of cargo cancellations from the Gulf Coast last summer. Whether the LNG carriers waited out the delays at the Panama Canal or diverted to the Suez Canal, or took the extremely long trip around Africa's Cape of Good Hope, the result was longer voyage times, which, in turn, lowered the overall supply of LNG tankers available to take more cargoes. The vessel shortage likely restrained spot market cargoes even as international gas and LNG prices at the time were the highest they had been in a while. There were simply no extra ships available to carry export cargoes. All these bullish factors combined to push prices to all-time highs in Asia and to multi-year highs in Europe by early 2021. Figure 1 in today's blog on the website shows the three major global gas indices: the Japan-Korea Marker, or JKM, representing Asia's LNG benchmark, the UK National Balancing Point, or NBP, and Europe's Dutch Tidal Transfer Facility, or TTF, along with Henry Hub. As the winter 2020 to 2021 contracts began expiring, prices started to fall but only dropped as low as the high $5 per million BTU level in both Europe and Asia before rallying again because of overall bullish market conditions. Prices began climbing again in the spring, and by late June, early July, prices in Europe briefly traded not only above the highs seen in January but at their highest level since 2008. Prices have kept rising since then, with only brief, minor setbacks along the way, underscoring the relentless crunch for LNG cargoes. In recent weeks, prices in Europe have bested their early summer highs as well as the previous all-time highs from 2008. In fact, the European gas indices have set a series of fresh highs just in recent days, with rare premiums to JKM. As of yesterday, TTF settled at $19.61 per million BTU, nearly $1 per million BTU above JKM, while NBP surged more than $1 per million BTU above JKM to $19.682 per million BTU. Although European fundamentals and the precarious storage situation, which we'll get to shortly, are driving most of the price rallies and news headlines, JKM has more than kept pace with TTF and NBP. For most of the summer, in fact, Asian traders have outbid Europe for LNG cargoes at every turn. Global demand for LNG is simply outpacing the supply of available cargoes. While overall higher global demand is supporting prices at these lofty levels, Europe in particular is facing an extreme supply crunch. Unlike Asia, which almost exclusively relies on LNG to meet its gas demand, Europe has a robust gas pipeline grid and a variety of supply sources. These can largely be broken down into three main categories: domestic production, LNG imports, and pipeline imports from Russia. European production has been in a steep decline for more than a decade, both because of declining reserves in existing production fields and the European Union's, or EU, environmental regulations. This summer, in addition to the typical and expected decline trends, a number of outages and maintenance events reduced production further, most notably from the Troll gas field in Norway. Due to its declining production levels, Europe is heavily dependent on natural gas imports, both piped from Russia and via LNG cargoes. Russia supplies the largest share of European gas imports, and reliance on Russian gas is increasing as Europe's domestic production falls. Most of the gas in Russia is controlled by state-owned Gazprom, which gives it an enormous influence on the European gas market. Russian gas is piped through a variety of routes, most of which have to pass through Ukraine to reach the EU. The exception is the Opal Nord Stream route, which pipes Russian gas directly to Germany through the Baltic Sea. Russia strongly prefers this route for gas as it cuts Ukraine out of the trade equation, giving it even more power and control over gas supplies into Europe. To increase flows along this route, Russia proposed the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which would double the capacity along the route through the Baltic Sea to 10.6 BCF per day, or 110 billion cubic meters, or BCM per year. However, the project has been incredibly controversial, and, until recently, there was a lot of uncertainty around when and if the pipeline would be completed. While it was heavily favored by Russia and Germany, with the latter negotiating for it to go ahead, the US had been strongly opposed to the expansion for geopolitical reasons. The impasse ended in late July, however, when the US and Germany reached a deal, with the US agreeing to drop the threat of further sanctions on the project, and it now looks likely to go ahead. Pipelaying work was completed earlier this week, and the line now just needs to be tied into the German gas grid. Officially, the pipeline is targeting the start of service before the end of the year, but it could be as early as October. From the US gas market perspective, the pipeline could create headwinds for its LNG exports in the long term, particularly for export projects still looking to reach final investment decisions. See the latest LNG Voyager quarterly report, as it will decrease the amount of LNG Europe needs to import. In the near term, however, even if Nord Stream 2 starts soon, it's likely too little too late for European storage levels to recover. Europe's imports from Russia are down this year even though the country's production has been strong. This was thought to be a response in opposition to the Nord Stream 2 pipeline and to bolster support for the pipe by showing that it is needed. Russian officials have commented recently that the country is experiencing unusually high domestic demand and needs to fill its own storage. Additionally, a fire at a gas processing plant in early August knocked some production offline. Regardless of Russia's motives, lower pipeline imports from the country are exacerbating Europe's supply shortage. With supply from all three sources tight and demand strong, Europe has struggled to refill storage this injection season. European natural gas inventory is currently at its lowest level for this time of year since 2013, but at that point storage capacity was much lower than it is now. In percentage terms, storage is currently at its lowest level in more than a decade. European storage in 2021 started the year with a surplus compared with 2019 but was rapidly depleted by a cold winter and trended increasingly below 2019 and 2020 levels through the spring. By late May, seasonal stocks had dropped below 2018 levels, the previous three-year minimum and the last time the LNG market experienced an extended bull run. In 2018, storage was able to be refilled through the spring, but that has not been the case in 2021. The difference this year is that Europe experienced very late season cold weather that delayed the start of injection season, and then slowed the pace of injections once they did start. Then, over the summer, weather flipped, and high temperatures and record-high carbon prices put upward pressure on gas demand for electricity generation. Although the pace of injections has picked up over the summer, the deficit from the three-year minimum is still widening and the window for injections is closing. There are only about 8 weeks left in injection season, and the size of injections typically begin to taper off as the weather turns cooler. Even if you apply 2018's very aggressive level of late-season injections to the rest of this season, that would still leave European storage only about 75% full, compared with more than 90% full in the past 2 years and more than 80% full in 2018. Also, even reaching 75% would be a best-case scenario, considering that injections so far this summer have been below the 2018 pace, and supply shortages appear likely to persist through fall. The low storage levels have supported prices all summer, and will continue to do so through the winter. The market is currently pricing this in, and winter prices are trading above the record highs seen last winter. In addition to a higher baseline of prices for the winter, the low inventory levels also leave the market more exposed to weather-related price spikes and generally more premium prices through the colder months. And that's not just for Europe either. With the increased reliance on LNG worldwide, gas markets are more connected than ever, and rising tides lift all boats, as they say. The increased competition for limited LNG cargoes means that strength in European prices will equate to higher Asian prices as well. In an upcoming blog, we'll take a look at the dynamics that are driving the Asian market. With prices soaring currently, US LNG is of course firmly in the money, and terminals are likely to operate at full utilization of contracted capacity, or even higher, to produce spot market cargoes whenever possible this winter. Beyond that, the extended and incredibly bullish trend for gas prices has renewed interest in new North American LNG capacity, and will potentially provide enough momentum to push one of the projects to take FID before this bull run is done. Tony Stern wrote the lyrics, and Carole King wrote the music for It's Too Late. The song appears as the third song on side one of Carole King's second studio album, Tapestry. Released as a single in April 1971, the song went to number one on the Billboard Hot 100 and Adult Contemporary Tracks singles charts. It has been certified gold by the Recording Industry Association of America, or RIAA. Tony Stern said she wrote the lyrics to the song in one day, after her love affair with James Taylor had ended. The single won a Grammy Award for Record of the Year in 1972. Personnel on the record were Carole King, on vocals and piano Curtis Amy, on soprano sax, Denny Korchmar, guitar and conga, Charles Larkey, on bass, Joel O'Brien, on drums, and Ralph Schuchat, on electric piano. Tapestry was recorded at Studio B at A&M Studios in Hollywood during January 1971. Produced by Lou Adler, the album was released in February 1971. It went to number one on the Billboard Top 200 Albums chart and has been certified 13 times platinum by the RIAA. It has sold more than 25 million records worldwide and earned 4 Grammy Awards in 1972. The two singles released from the album both spent 5 weeks at number one on the Billboard Hot 100 and Easy Listening Singles charts. Carole King, or Carole Joan Klein, is an American singer-songwriter who has written or co-written 118 charting singles on the Billboard Hot 100 singles chart. She started as a staff writer at the Brill Building in New York City in 1958, partnering in songwriting with her future husband, Jerry Goffin. She has released 17 studio albums, 4 live albums, 7 compilation albums, 1 soundtrack album, and 33 singles. She has won 4 Grammy Awards, a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award, a Library of Congress Gershwin Prize for Popular Song, and a Kennedy Center honor. She is a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with Jerry Goffin and is a solo artist. King is also a member of the Songwriters Hall of Fame and has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. She has sold more than 75 million records worldwide. King still records and performs occasionally.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.